JD has ideas sometimes when it comes to building an episode. Ideas that I'm not saying I don't 100% agree with. It's just they're completely, you know, off the wall. Things that are so simple, but still off the wall. And regarding this situation, especially this episode, he wanted to, as you can tell, wanted to wear Christmas hats. And as you can tell, was this is on video and audio.
If you're watching on video, yeah, you could definitely see one of us is wearing a Christmas hat.
Yeah. He has a super fucking cool light up hat, dope as shit hanging to it's fucking cool. He texts my wife. I didn't want to wear a stupid fucking
I texted
hat.
Him first. I did text him first.
Right. And I'm like, I am not wearing a fucking stupid hat. He secretly texts my wife, said, go buy this motherfucker a hat. And so we can wear it. And I'm like, all right, if my wife brought it home and she's like, hey, here, wear it. Fuck it. It's Christmas, motherfucker. I was going to wear it. She didn't find a hat. This is what she found. And I'm going to pan as slowly as I can so you can get the whole view of Cindy Lou Who. That's what I call this. Here we go. Are you ready for this?
Present it.
I'm not wearing this stupid fucking thing. I'm not even going to attempt to wear this stupid bastard. I'm going to have a fucking Christmas cookie.
For everyone that is only listening to this, didn't actually get to watch this. If you're listening, you did miss a very funny sight. Definitely think Cindy Lou Who. If you can't see me, I've got a really awesome, I've got a Santa hat going on. It's light up. It's pretty cool. I'm going to turn the lights off, though. So, yeah, we'll save the battery for that. Yeah. Welcome to Traversing the Stars, everybody. I'm JD. So you might have noticed we started the episode off a little bit differently. You might notice some of you an unfamiliar face. If you're a fan of my other podcast, Going Hollywood, you know exactly who is sitting with me here. I've got my best friend, the Ghost. And so basically what's going on, just to give you a little rundown, we're going to be doing more content episodes on Traversing. We've been wanting to do that for a while. So look for more, with all of us, me and the Ghost, me and Jeff, might even have some other guests here and there doing more, more content episodes. So look for that. So today we got all gussied up. I even got this.
You did. I love it.
Star Wars. You guys Christmas shirt.
Anybody
going
in the podcast world, he's literally rocking the Darth Vader stormtrooper fucking Christmas hat with he's got a little like something Christmassy in his eyes. Darth Vader does.
Yeah. 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 He's got the little,
it's kind of awesome. I don't like Star Wars, but I love that.
I think it's awesome. It's one of my favorite Christmas shirts. So we are talking today about Bad Santa.
We are. And this is a very different kind of movie. This is a completely different kind of Christmas movie. Yes, it is a Christmas movie though.
100%. There's no denying this is a Christmas
for real
movie.
Yeah, but it's not the Christmas movie that you would put on with grandma and uncle and your cousin Bobby that's 4 years old, because a bunch of dick pissed cocksucker motherfuckers dropped in this and then some, man.
Well, see, I think what's awesome about this one is, like, okay, so we had like all the Charlie Brown stuff growing up, you know, like we had all the Christmas classics, they're all super happy and all. But then you got this one that kind of speaks to more the adult audience around Christmas time. A little bit more cynical, a little bit more angry, not as joyous, dark. But very dark, very, very dark. And very. Centering around crime.
You know, it is, man. It is. And Christmas and crime, as we know, really do go hand in hand, man, for some reason. Home Alone.
Mm-hmm. Die Hard.
What no. That is an episode. Another day.
That is an episode.
Anyway.
Well, actually, I just want to one point I do want to make. They were at a Christmas party, so they did. There was crime on Christmas.
I guess so.
Yeah, I got you there, motherfucker.
Well, this is a very, very unique movie. It is not your, like I said, put in with grandma and Uncle Bobby and whoever the hell you're hanging out with. If you're an evangelical Christian family, I don't think you're going to put this on.
Probably not Christmas one of your rotation movies, for sure.
No, definitely not. But I've been wanting to review this thing, man. And let's just get into the damn thing. Let's break this movie down a little bit. Let's review it and we'll go from there.
100%. Give me the numbers on it first.
Dude, it actually did pretty good in theaters, man.
Yeah.
It came out swinging in 2005 theaters, it opened at 12.5 million, which is for a Christmas comedy. That's really good.
That's pretty good, yeah.
But it made worldwide, dude, worldwide $76 million. It made $60 million here, which wow. Understandable. But yeah. As I'm seeing here, like November, it all came out in November, but during Christmas weekend, it really, it killed it. It made like another $7 million, and that was a month later. So oh, yeah, it was making decent money.
Not bad, not bad. Now we're led in the cast by Billy Bob Thornton. Yes. The love interest is played by Lauren Graham. She, I think, is more known for Gilmore Girls. I don't know if she's really done much else.
That's all I know her from, honestly. Yeah. That is all I know her from. But we cannot forget the two other, or three actually. Other.
Oh, yeah. This is star-studded.
It really is, man. Tony Cox. Well, we'll get into him a little bit later, man. That's one of my favorite characters. He's playing one of my favorite characters of all time.
I love him.
Literally, I'm not kidding. Like, all bullshit aside, that's one of my favorite characters of all time. Like, you remember when we hung out? You son of a bitch! I used to. That was my shit, dude. I don't know why.
Marcus the Dwarf is one of the best characters.
Marcus the Dwarf. Jesus, is that his fucking name?
It's Marcus, yeah, but he's like the elf. I meant the elf. My bad.
Is this fucking Gimli?
No. What is it's even like the part in the movie. It's like, I don't know, just a sneezy, dopey. That's the seven dwarfs.
That's the seven.
I don't know. Just call him Bub. You know, I call him Bub. I call him Bub. Like,
what the fuck does it matter to you, kid? You fucking with me?
Now, we can't forget also two, unfortunately, no longer with us talents, John Ritter. And Bernie Mac.
Yeah, I didn't even realize you said both, because I knew John Ritter, rest in peace, did pass away a little bit right before this movie came out, actually, and they dedicated this movie to him at the end.
No. You're thinking of did they dedicate it to him at the end?
John Ritter, yeah.
Well, okay, so it was at around the same time. So this one was the show he was on, I think it's Eight Simple Rules. They dedicated an episode to him as well.
Yeah. I think they just put his name at the end. You know, rest in peace, John Ritter. And
No. Like they had a whole thing with him. Like,
oh, did it really?
They had his character die, and they made a big emotional goodbye. Oh, it was actually really sweet.
Probably real emotions then.
Very much so.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think there was some therapy with that. Like, John Ritter, incredible talent. Bernie Mac also, man. Like, love both of them, and I love them in these roles.
I do too. And we'll get into that a little bit later, dude. We'll get into the character building on how, because the character building here between the Santa Claus and the child, which Billy Bob Thornton, and I don't know the kids. What's the kid's name? I know his name is Sherman.
Thurman Merman.
That's what stupid fucking name. Who the fuck gave you that name, kid?
Your name's Thurman Merman? Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I love it. It's fucking great. Now, the dynamic between the kid and Billy Bob Thornton is actually kind of...
It actually really works, too.
It really did.
Yeah, he definitely came off as like a little bit like mentally handicapped or something. But
a little bit.
But I'm also not sure. Definitely on the spectrum, but they never really specified. And that wasn't even the point. The kid was just supposed to be simple. The kid was...
Right.
And he was. Simple. And like just kind of like... He's already been through so much shit that, like, I think part of it also is like his little defense mechanism here. And then like connecting with this really twisted father figure in.
I know. Yeah. Daddy's up in the mountains with.
Yeah. Daddy's exploring mountains. And what is it? Mommy lives in God's house with the talking walnut.
Like, who takes care of you?
Grandma.
Who the fuck is grandma?
Grandma. It's Granny Spry.
It's Granny Spry. Oh, this movie is incredible, dude. This movie has so many one-liners. It's kind of ridiculous. Literally before this recording of this, I watched a video on YouTube of nothing but insults for 6 minutes from this movie. I'm like, 6 minutes worth of insults?
Minimum. And it probably didn't even cover all of them.
I don't think they did, because there's so many. They're everywhere. And we'll get into that.
Let's break
the movie down.
Let's break it down. So it centers around Willie Soke, played by Billy Bob. And him and Tony Cox. And I don't know. I don't know the prune-faced mail order bride. I don't know her name. But
I don't either.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. She was like, it doesn't matter. So basically, they have this whole scheme because Marcus is a little person. They like to be called... Little people. I don't think they like to be called midget. So Marcus is. as pointed out by John Ritter, he's a little guy. He's a little guy.
He's a little guy.
And so they have this
by the fuck of balls.
So they have this scheme where every Christmas, Willie plays Santa Claus at a mall. Marcus plays the elf. And at the end of it, because Willie's a safecracker, they rob the place fucking blind. It's actually a pretty cool, like, from a crime perspective, like,
it
from
is.
I like movies like where they're scheming. I mean, we've talked about on Going Hollywood a lot.
Yeah.
Like Goodfellas, you know, they're always scheming. This Love is it. Just like they do this once a year scam.
It's kind of superb the way they did it. He found, you know, a small person that can go as an elf. And who the hell was going to say to a Santa Claus that has an elf, a real life elf? And you can't. Yeah, they did it well. This is a good thought of story, dude. This story is really thoroughly just great from beginning to the end. There's really, I really don't have too many flaws.
It's funny. It's funny because, like, you know, like, this isn't really that old of a movie. When did this come out? This came out in the 2000s,
2005.
Right? All right, 2005. So, like, okay, the year I graduated high school. So what? It's getting further and further away.
Jesus, man.
But think about something weird. Even from 2005. That scheme would not be as effective in today's world.
You don't think so?
No, dude.
I don't know. Malls
are closing left and right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they got too many fucking triggers now. They got too many things protecting motion sensors now.
Well,
and shit.
I mean, they could probably figure that stuff out, but they have, like, I mean, there's going to be less people. You know, you live in COVID land now, so that, you know, there's You know, are they even going to hire Santa Claus? You know, different shit like that. So, like, it does kind of, like, for an interesting, like, where society has kind of gone to. You know, we're so digital now. Like, we order most of our shit online. Nobody goes to the mall anymore. When's the last time you were at a mall?
It's been a while, dude. That's why Wall-E scares me so fucking much, man. We ain't going to go nowhere. We're going to be in chairs that fucking we hover around and we're fat and everything's bought online and delivered to us. God, it's already fucking happening.
How do you plant pizza trees?
I'm serious. But no, the dynamic in this movie, literally, when you think about it, between all the characters and in that story of the scheme in the mall,
right. And
there is a sub-story between the love interest and the child, where he befriends the child in between all this crazy shit that happens, where they're trying to just be Santa for a month.
Yep.
And try not to get caught.
Well, and here's the thing, speaking to that point. So this is okay. So, like, if you and I were running a scam,
right,
we would have, like, mostly coherent, you know, like, it'd be mostly coherent. I don't know. I mean, you know, we would have our head on our shoulders, you know, when not to do certain shit. But the problem that presents itself constantly through the movie is Willie is a raging fucking alcoholic.
Raging. I mean, at one point, and he passes out. At one point in the movie, he literally passes out. And it's one of the funniest fucking scenes in the movie.
Man. You're talking about the fall, right?
The fall, where he's like, you want me to carry him? I'm 3 foot fucking tall, motherfucker. I can't carry
him. Oh, that part. I thought you were talking about the part where he actually fell backwards when he ate the Advent candy. See, you can't. That's the thing. There's so many. To illustrate how much of a fucking alcoholic he is, like, I gave you an example I thought you would get. And, like, there was a completely different part of the movie where he was, like, passed out, fucked up, drunk. Like, you actually have to specify what drunk moment you're talking about.
Oh, God. Yeah, you're not even kidding. No, I'm talking about the one where he literally passes out in the chair as Santa Claus, and Bernie Mac and Tony Cox are trying to get him out of here. Bernie Mac says, Tony Cox, you get him the fuck out of there. I'm 3 foot
tall. Draw me a map of how I get him out of here.
It's incredible, man. It's the lines are just, the lines are so, that's probably my favorite part of this movie. The fucking delivery of the lines. Yeah.
Well, okay, so then, like, you mentioned the love interest, too. So the love interest kind of ties in a little bit with the kid.
Yeah.
It's, like, this weird, like, because they go city to city. It's, like, weird that it happened this way. But, like, in this particular situation, he ends up meeting a barmaid or bartender. What's the word? Right. Barmaid?
Barmaid.
Bar wench. Bartender.
It's a unisex.
A bar wench.
Bartender.
A bartender. Bartender, whatever. He meets a bartender that has a weird sexual predilection for Santa Claus, which is,
yeah,
which adds to the twistedness of the movie in itself. The fuck me, Santa, fuck me, Santa, fuck me, Santa.
It's really random too. Like the way she explains it, like, oh, my dad was Jewish and we, you know, never had.
Yeah.
Santa,
they just like kind of glossed over it. It was like this weird. Yeah. I just dig this. This is what I'm into. And she seems to not give a shit. That right. He's like a totally fucked up person.
Did you think that was weird? Like you're turned on by an old fattening bald white guy that's in his 70s.
All right, here's the thing as a fat guy, okay,
but you're not balding or
no
white-haired.
Well,
or
Santa Claus isn't balding,
is he? Does he have long hair? Is he bald?
All right, dude, you can
Santa Elf, he was bald.
Okay, in Elf he was bald, but in Christmas Chronicles, where he was played by Kurt Russell, he had a beautiful
Snake
head of
Plissken.
Hair. Snake Plissken.
Beautiful head of hair.
Right.
I forgot about that. That's that
Escape
Chris
from Christmas.
Columbus junk.
Yeah, that shit is
Chris
fire.
Columbus fucking
I think
you
did. That shit is That's, fire. Yeah, I love Christmas. Christmas
you know.
Anyway,
you know.
Anyway.
Anyway.
So, yeah, as a fat guy, no. Dad bod's in, bro.
Oh, dad bod? I know for a fact they are.
She was ahead of the game.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
You got me. She ahead of the game. Hey, it is what it is. But, I don't know. Can you think of anything that you would put in as like a con in the movie? You're like, I just didn't like this. This is particularly didn't like this. I couldn't think of anything, honestly.
I mean, it's pretty, I don't know. It's rather flawless in its execution, I think. You know, cause they managed to like create this world around this criminal mischief.
Yeah.
With, you know, the Christmas spirit happening, because like, you know, he meets the kid. The way the kid is introduced is hilarious. I mean, like, you know, the guy is out there trying to rape him on his truck and the kid comes up and saves him.
Yeah, in a very weird way. Yeah. Yeah, he did literally.
Yeah.
What's the insult that he calls him there when he leaves?
Clown.
Ass clown.
That's the guy from Office Space.
It is totally the dude from Office Space, isn't it?
He just randomly makes an appearance in this.
Look, the only thing, and we'll break down the sets and the music and everything regarding this, but I really think the only con that I can think of is I would need it just a little bit more if he was a little nicer to the kid, because they were trying to put them together. So he was just a scumbag to him for like 50 minutes, man.
That was the whole point, though. That was the whole point. He was doing that, but like, meanwhile, the kid was showing him unconditional love.
I felt bad for Thurman, dude.
Yeah, I felt bad for Thurman too. But here's the thing. Like, here's the thing. What that represented, okay? Like, at least in my opinion.
Yeah. What did it represent?
All right. So what that represented to me is like, the whole idea. Okay, and I'm gonna get cheesy as fuck here.
We gotta turn the Christmas.
Yeah,
podcast world. The lights are on right now.
Yeah, if you're not seeing this on YouTube, you gotta go check us out on YouTube. You're missing some of the action on this one.
Do it.
We should just like not even describe what's happening with the hat. Like there's an action with the hat, but it's very visual. And just leave it at that. All right, so check it out. So the spirit of Christmas, right, is supposed to be like just love, togetherness, acceptance, all that shit, right? You know, right. All that sentimental stuff. So like from the sentimental side, because like even in this movie, like in a movie as dark as it is, and as I'm going to say it's filthy. It is filthy.
Very, very much so.
Very filthy. And I'll give you that. That's fine. But to make it a Christmas movie, you still have to have that Christmas factor. And I think that's what the kid represented, no matter how much shit he got, because he's already been through a lot of traumatic shit. He's on the spectrum, clearly. His dad is in jail. His mom is dead. Weird family dynamic.
Very weird.
But he just refuses to not cut Santa a break, and no one in his life had ever done that. I keep calling him Santa. Willie.
Yeah.
No one had ever cut Willie a break before. So like this was almost like a Christmas miracle for him.
Because kind of, yeah, in a very weird way. Now thinking about the ending and
because like at the end he started to soften up on him a little bit.
Oh yeah.
He started to you know, like okay, in the beginning when he was asking about sandwiches, he was just shutting him down. But by the end, he was like, all right, make me a sandwich. Like you want to make me a sandwich. And it was like this, like it was like this weird, like, all right, I'm gonna open up a little bit. Go ahead, make me a sandwich because that's what it's gonna make you happy. It's
how much lettuce you want?
The normal amount. A bunch. Whatever people do.
Whatever people do.
Whatever people do. And he's still here
trying so hard to be like, bro, just make me a fucking sandwich. Get the fuck out of my face.
He was learning patience. He was. And his one thing that he had at the end, he wanted to redeem himself. He wanted to get him the purple elephant.
He kind of did. It's a pink one that mixed with his blood, which turned into purple. If you never realized that, it's kind of weird.
Oh, shit.
You never realized that.
Okay, because hold on.
I kind of blew your mind now.
You did, because like if you notice, he asked for a pink one first, then he decided he wanted a purple one.
Yes.
So when he grabbed the pink one, I'm like, bro, you got to get the purple one. But if it's mixed with his blood...
It's purple. It's purple.
Good catch, dude. Usually I catch that.
I love when films do that. When movies do that kind of shit, it's incredible. Do you think, and this is a weird question, but do you think the set played a big role in this movie?
Because absolutely,
hell yeah, dude.
Absolutely, dude. The set was its own character because the set, you got the mall setting. It's because it mostly takes place around the mall, but also Thurman's house because he just sets up shop there, and that's the two main settings. You know, you got like this weirdness at the house because like you're just banging the bartender, but like there's Granny. That was Cloris Leachman, right?
I have no idea, but whoever it was,
the granny was incredible. I'm pretty sure that was Cloris Leachman. Like that's a famous actress. She, you know, you got her like just zombieing around the house.
I'm making some sandwiches.
Making some sandwiches. Like the part where she almost like they think she died, and she just wakes up. Oh, Roger, I'm making some sandwiches.
You know what? We're calling this episode, I'm making you some sandwiches.
Make me some sandwiches.
That's great.
But yeah, so then, but you also got the weirdness going on at the mall too.
Oh yeah.
One of the things though is like constantly having to deal with their boss, Chepeska, played by Ritter. And
yes.
You know, like, okay, what are some of the things that he has to deal with? So first of all, Ritter plays an extremely uptight mall manager. God. And he's so uptight.
The whitest of the white.
And he's like all about getting it right. Like, you know, like he wants to be politically correct. And he's like, you know, like
fuck him in the ass.
I don't think they want to call you a midget. You know, I think they prefer little person. He's a little guy. Person. He's a little guy. But he's also dealing with this head of security and Bernie Mac, who is the complete opposite. Who's just I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck about anything.
Yeah, Santa fucking a bitch in the ass and a heavy Santa woman
fucking
style.
A bitch in the ass. So okay, he's like, so what are some of the things that Ritter's character had to deal with though? Like, dude, just lay some of this shit out.
He was a drunkard. Like you said, we mentioned at the beginning of the episode, he has so many situations with him just being drunk. And that's really all it centers in. But
It's also because he catches him. He catches.
That's I was just about to bring it up. He does catch him fucking a couple chicks in the heavy women's stall, in the plus size women's stall. And he's like, you fornicating with a heavy woman.
Now that actually led to one of my favorite lines in comedy, actually.
What is the line?
Okay. I boned a lot of fat chicks in my day, sure. But as far as I know, I've never fornicated anyone.
The best line. Dude, that is literally
one of my favorite lines in all of comedy, because that is just like the funniest shit I've ever heard.
Dude, that is your favorite line in the movie?
I don't know if that's my favorite line in the movie. I'm just saying that particular line massively sticks out to me. But I mean, in his very first meeting with the guy, he literally, like, Willie is just like staring at some chick's ass, walking through the mall, not paying attention to shit this guy's saying. And then he says the word performance, and it just triggers something in Willie. And with my performance, well, like sexual, and like Marcus is just like, what the
Marcus
fuck, man?
Losing
like,
his mind.
Marcus is just like, please just hold it the fuck together. Please just hold it the fuck together. And he's just like, my fuck stick. He's not going to say,
fuck stick in front of the children, is he? He literally does that. And they do it so well. John Ritter, damn it, man. Rest in peace.
Nervous like tics that he keeps doing. Oh my God. Great. But then you got Bernie Mac. Now, Bernie Mac is smart as shit.
He is.
His character is amazing. So this is where the real issue starts, because like so far the plan's it's going according to plan. Like they're not getting fired. They get out of being fired once or twice.
Yeah.
Using the whole political correctness thing to their advantage.
Oh,
you
God.
Know, so they've got that on, you know, there's no issue there. They're about to, you know, do what they do and get away with it and move on. But they also get caught because Chepeska puts Bernie Mac's character. I don't think he had a name. I think it was just Stordick.
Is that his fucking name in the movie?
I think he had a name, but they kept calling him Stordick.
Stordick.
Stordick
was dead. Literally what they. Stordick's dead.
Stordick don't care about shit. Yeah. But so Chepeska puts Stordick on the trail, and he discovers what's going on. Figures it all out.
He does.
And instead of doing his job.
Did he mention it?
I mean, dude, he just looked into him and he called in. Like, clearly he was somebody who had some law enforcement contacts. He looked into where they were, put two and two together. He figured it out. You know, he's not an idiot.
Right.
And that's where the issue really starts. So he basically tells Chepeska, dude's a saint. He cusses, but never around children. Never even a parking ticket. And he's just like, you can't do shit about it. The part where it's like, big women. What can I say?
What can I say? I love that. He's just, that's just Bernie Mac being Bernie Mac.
That, yeah, I think so. I also think it was Billy Bob being Billy Bob.
Absolutely. But 100%. I will tell you this, the fucking scene Bernie Mac's eating that orange literally cringes shit out of me. I cannot listen to him eat that fucking orange.
And he's doing
it so well.
Just like while Ritter is like having like struggling through this shit, and he's just like chewing this orange up like he doesn't give a fuck. He's just like
zero fucks.
It's like I want you to know that you're bothering me.
Literally.
I want you to know that. Like I need you out of my office ASAP.
That's what he was doing. Literally. That's what I felt like there in that whole scene. And he nailed it. If that's what you wanted to get out of it, you fucking got it, man.
Yep. But what really turns it, where the issue, where it all goes wrong for real, is when he sits them down and he lays out the whole thing. Like, gentlemen, I've got you figured out. You've been found out. I like that scene too.
I love that. The way they're just negotiating, and it's the most ridiculous thing. Half. And it's like, I ain't giving you fucking half.
Half.
33 and a quarter.
Half.
49.5. What the fuck's a half?
Oh, that 1 point. Yeah. Well, what's 1 point?
Yeah.
He calls him an idiot. Oh, is that why you got the upper hand on him?
Your soul is dog shit. Every single fucking thing about you is ugly.
Stares at him.
He cusses him out there. the insults between Marcus. I'm sorry, I'm getting off fucking topic.
It's okay. It's okay. Because their insults back and forth make the movie. Like their relationship is deteriorating rapidly.
Immediately from the start.
But they're just holding nothing back.
Dude, they're just literally just imagine you and I 50 years from now, but hating each other.
Yeah. Just
that
like,
would
just
literally
spy,
be you.
But like, you're like, you're tied to them. And like,
but it's like, it's just, we're together. This is it. Like, you are my person now. That's it.
It's an old married couple vibe.
It really is.
It's a very old married couple vibe.
I love it. It works so well.
It works. So what really kind of, I think also is another dark turn in the movie.
Yeah.
Is when you realize Marcus is capable of so much more.
Marcus becomes really slimy towards the end. I love his character,
ruthless.
But and really ruthless. Like he knows that once he cracks that big fucking code,
the safe.
At the end. Yeah. I don't remember the name of it. I'm sorry. I don't know what
the Robidow readout or something. I don't know.
Yeah. When he breaks it, he just takes the money and kind of just.
Well, I mean,
good.
So what they did about Stordick is him and the prune faced mail order bride. She had a name too. I can't remember her name, but
unforgettable.
It doesn't matter.
Don't forget that loafer.
Don't forget the loafer. She was funny. I did like her. When you realize that Marcus is capable of that much, like that level of darkness, they literally kill Stordick to get rid of that problem.
Yes.
And that's when they decide they're also going to kill Willie. So that's when it really starts to like, because like you're watching this, you're like, dude, this is a Christmas movie.
It is.
At the end of the day, this is a Christmas movie.
It absolutely is. 100%. In Phoenix, Arizona, but it's 100% a fucking Christmas movie.
Phoenix has Christmas too. So
it does. It does. It's super hot. It's 99 degrees on the 25th.
Exactly.
But you know, Marcus really does. His character really does change in the end. He becomes slimy. He becomes very selfish. And I think in the end you don't like him, and that's the point.
He was pushed to that. I mean, like, there's also this level of like understanding him because like, can you, Willie's antics are funny as shit when you're not dealing with them. But like, yeah, imagine, you know,
the drunkard is.
Imagine I get it. Trying to do this podcast.
But why kill him? Just tell him to go. Be like, dude, you're not getting anything, man. Here's a couple grand. Get the fuck out of here. And he probably think he would tell. No, in a way, they're like, he's going to. But why would. No, he's just going to even said, I'm just going to find another fucking small person. Why you go find him? We're not around the corner everywhere.
That's the thing, man, is like in that world, man, things are final sometimes. Like Marcus was done with his shit. He was over it.
He was absolutely done with him.
It was also like, you know, like.
Yeah,
it was kind of a situation where like Willie put them on the radar in the first place. So like, you know, like this is all like he had to kill somebody because of Willie. So like, I think he also felt kind of some of that. And he even said, this has been a long time coming. And he even said, I take no joy in this. Like it was really business for him.
It's fucked up. It's fucked. Yeah, I could have just let him go because Willie kind of in the end even says you people are monsters.
He says that
like through tears. In the end, he says that through.
That's when he's having his like kind of he's having his awakening. That's when the miracle is starting to happen. None of that would have happened without the kid,
for sure. Because he's holding the at the end when he gets caught with when Marcus is out there with the gun with the loofah chick, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
He's Lois crying. Lois, that's her fucking name. Yeah. God damn it. Funny, you know, ironically, that Lois is in this actual movie.
Yeah, she is. She's Lois. Like in the very beginning, like from Family Guy. She's the one like, oh, they make great present, like, you know, giveaways for Christmas. Like, no, I think one is plenty.
She's you can tell it's straight tell. Lois from fucking Peter. It's fucking great. But no, I like everything about this movie, man. I think the whole dynamic of the film, the feel, it is super Christmassy. It feels like a Christmas movie, even though it is
even
such
with
dark.
All the darkness. Because like, yeah, even with you all just darkness, watch, the you watch there. Him start to come around.
Absolutely, dude.
100%. And it's like it, you can't help but like again, as cheesy as it is, you can't help but think like, you know what, maybe the Christmas spirit is real.
And this movie in the end, when we're not going to spoil it for you. Hopefully you've seen it. It's been out since like 05.
We pretty much spoiled the whole thing. I mean, it is what it is. Like everything works out. It's a Christmas movie. Everything works out.
I mean, Willie goes to jail. He doesn't die.
He goes to jail kind of. He gets a deal.
He does, but he'll be back. I'll be out in like 35 years or what is it?
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, honestly, did you see the sequel? The sequel wasn't very good.
The sequel was not as good, and I was happy to know that his mom was Kathy fucking Bates, man.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I'm like, but you know what? It was a little bit of a letdown.
It just didn't have the charm. This is a movie that has so much charm, and it's one of my favorite Christmas movies of all.
Absolutely.
Time, you want to rate this, baby?
Are you ready to rate this thing?
I'm ready, dude. Go ahead.
Awesome. So let me explain this here. Like I said, we're kind of folding some of the Go on Hollywood stuff into traversing. So we're taking an element that we had on Go on Hollywood, what was known as the Weirdo Scale. We've reworked it for the branding here. So this is now going to be known as the Traveler's Guide.
The Traveler's Guide. Break it down. We'll make an episode later breaking down the actual levels.
No, I'll just go through it right now. You know, like from worst to best. So there's different levels here. So you've got Crash and Burn being the worst, up to No Systems Go. Too Close for Missiles, In the Pipe, Traveler Approved, Maximum Warp, and Extraterrestrial, Out of This World.
That's the best one.
That's the absolute creme de la creme.
I've only given those out twice already, which is crazy, because I wouldn't give this out just to anybody. But go ahead.
Give me yours. I want to see yours.
I thought about it. I really did. I was actually thinking about it today all day after I watched it. I'm like, what would I give this movie? And when I really sat down and thought about it as a Christmas movie, it is almost perfect.
Yeah.
But as a movie itself, it's almost perfect. It's just there's a couple of things that I would have done it a little differently, but the one-liners are so fucking good. It's a Maximum Warp for me, man, for sure.
I love it. Yeah, I gotta agree. It's nearly perfect. I'm not sure what even holds it back from being perfect, but it is, like, you know, as far as holiday movies, it's in my regular rotation. I watch it every year. It's up there with Christmas Vacation, Home Alone. It's up there in my regulars. So I'm also going to give this a maximum warp. So this is a unanimous maximum warp.
It's unanimous. If you haven't checked this out yet, I mean, it's free on Pluto TV if you have it. Right now is of the time of this recording.
Yeah.
It's great. It's not a family Christmas movie, but sit down with
your family. Well, I don't know. It depends. It depends on your family. I mean, in my family,
it's we loved it too. Yeah. We're very, our families are a little bit more liberal on these things. I guess we watch whatever that nobody really cares.
I think it's just a sense of humor. And you know what? It's also something like, you haven't seen anything like this for a while either. Like, you haven't seen like a really dark, like take a concept that's so innocent, pure, whatever, you know, like certain memories and feelings attached to it, and put that darkness and that comedy edge to it. So I think that's pretty cool. I would like to see more of it, to be honest.
The one movie that I would say is a Christmas movie, and we'll close it out with this, mm-hmm. is that has dark themes, but it's also a Christmas movie. And mm-hmm. I just watched it recently. It's The Christmas Carol.
Oh yeah,
that movie is super dark, dude.
Well, it's dark in a different way.
Very much so.
And there's social commentary. Like, that's a whole episode.
Oh boy,
that's a whole episode. Maybe next year, absolutely.
Maybe.
So why don't we say where we can find us here? So give us all your @s.
@ TheGhost88 everywhere. # TheGhost88, and that's the number written out.
All right, awesome. You can find me at Dudas Weirdo. I'm on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. Find me, follow me, traverse with me.
Travel with me.
Okay?